Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
And so here we are, final
Classy Ring Attire of
2017.
Yep. We've had all the wrestling that we're going to have for 2017.
Yes.
It is a done deal.
Lid on
20.
The pot? Lid on the something. That's a wrap. There you go. That's a good way to
it's a wrap.
Surmise it.
I was about to say, like, you and your theaterness, like, that would be the first thing you would come up with instead of this lid stuff. Anyways, a couple notes from the final, WWE programming from this week. We got a new tag team champions.
Yes.
Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get into that,
mm-hmm.
Was it supposed to feel like a big deal? Like, it wasn't. It didn't feel like a shocker. It felt like, oh, necessity because of Dean Ambrose injury kind of
right.
thing. Right. Because here's my issue that started at the beginning of this week mm-hmm. and I've just been kind of sitting and simmering with it and getting irritated about it.
Okay.
So Raw was on Christmas Day this year.
Yes.
Live on Christmas Day.
Yes.
And SmackDown was then on
the day after Boxing Day. Yeah.
Again, live.
Sure.
So they're obviously going to be some downturns in your audience. You know, your casual audience that tunes in every now and then. This is not likely a day they're going to tune in.
No.
You're competing against Christmas.
Right, yeah.
And so, on one hand, I understand this feeling of, like, let's get the audience we can get. We're aware of, the kind of limitations there.
Right.
Let's not beat ourselves up too badly when this one's a downturn from last week.
Right.
But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get some amount of audience that doesn't usually tune in.
Yeah, just, people who are just sitting at their family's house.
Right.
And they're not really doing much, and they're a wrestling fan, or the, mm-hmm. the they're a wrestling fan's house. And
right.
So it's on. Yeah.
Right. And so there's so many people who are, back home, or I remember the first time going home from college, when we watched in college.
Yeah.
And I came home, and there was like this, oh, it's Monday. It was, must have been spring break or something.
Sure.
Because it was like one Monday, and I was like,
yeah.
But it's 9 o'clock, because it was back then. But it's 9 o'clock, and
yeah.
Raw's going to come on, and I'm going to watch Raw. And so that meant that all the members of my family who would not watch Raw at all were watching that episode.
Right.
That was a intro episode, and they didn't know that was going to be an intro episode for these
sure.
handful of people.
Yeah.
But you have a fair guess that this week could very well be an intro episode for a lot of people. And there was nothing on there that did anything to entice
yeah.
people to maybe want to try it out next week.
Yeah.
And that just really frustrated me. Like, the more I was like, you have new audience.
Yeah.
And it's a smaller audience anyway. So it's like, it's not even like you can alienate your longtime viewers because they're not watching.
Right, yeah.
Like, you have almost like a freebie shot to try something weird.
Yeah.
And there's nothing.
No.
And it felt so much like, all right, head down, eyes forward. We're just going to plow through the pain of these two tapings that nobody's going to be watching.
Right. And then, to, I guess, reward the fans for sitting through all this stuff, we're going to put a title switch at the end.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like.
Well, the thing's like, you know what? You have to have a title switch. Like,
yeah.
You have to. And so, I don't have the right answer. I don't have the, like, this was all set up for you and you didn't do it. Why
yeah.
didn't you do X, Y, and Z? But it does feel like, it feels like you could have done something with it that doesn't feel like, oh, quick change of pace because of outside forces conspiring
right.
against us. And okay, maybe that is my, pre-stated, like, you know, boots to the ground disinterest in Jason Jordan, especially this version of Jason Jordan.
Right.
But I am not unique and alone in that.
No, God, no. No, you are definitely one in of many.
And again, this thing is like, do they think it's working? Have they, like, convinced themselves that through the Roman Reigns saga, that apathetic reaction is the thing that...
Is the thing that you want? I don't know. Because it's hard for me to... I don't know. It should be hard for them to think that, especially when you've got Rusev Day over on SmackDown, which is about as over as anything in the company right now. And apparently his shirts are selling pretty great, like outselling all the Shield guys. And so, that's saying something.
It is saying something.
Yeah.
I mean, I would enjoy a Rusev Day t-shirt. Like,
I don't know if I would buy one.
But I would enjoy one.
I would enjoy one as well if someone else was paying shipping. Man, they charge way too much
for
shipping.
They do charge way too much for shipping. Ugh. But there's that, like... And SmackDown, especially. And some of it's like, you know what? I expected this from Raw. But SmackDown, I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah.
I expected more from you.
Yeah.
Because SmackDown has an even greater shot of, like, okay, Raw's on literally Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, there's a good chance there's a lot of, like, Christmas evening tradition. And in this, you know, this is when we watch Die Hard or Wonderful Life or Christmas Story or whatever that is the time you do it. But, like, the day after Christmas, like, you know, all your presents aren't even new anymore. They're just junk under a tree now.
Right.
And, like, you've made it through all these days. That, there has got to be some new eyeballs on SmackDown.
Right.
And there was just nothing that was like, oh, that's,
no. Yeah.
You know.
Instead, you've got two matches of a tournament where the rest of the tournament wasn't even, the rest of the tournament wasn't even, like, announce like the brackets. You didn't see the bracket. I didn't see a bracket until like 2-3 days later.
Yeah.
And it's just four more people, like, so it's an 8-man tournament, and I'm like, I'm supposed to be excited over that. that 8-man tournament sounds like a lot, but when you look at it in brackets, it looks kind of pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, why even bother making a bracket?
Yeah.
You know.
So,
but the exciting thing on that is Xavier Woods is in the U.S. Championship tournament, going up against Aiden English, which you would think that means he's got a chance.
But
you saw how over Rusev Day was.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I thought that train of thought that, like, Rusev Day is over. This means Aiden English should win. And you're like, wait, no, it's, oh, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah. Again, if you just take that one sentence and play it, like, go in a time machine and play that for us, like, in January of 2017, yeah, I wouldn't be able to piece that one together.
Yeah. So, here we are at the end.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel looking back on wrestling in the year of 2017?
I feel great for wrestling outside of the main two shows of WWE.
Yeah.
You know? This was a phenomenal year for outside of WWE. And, you know, WWE did have a successful year. You saw how, like, you read the news articles of, you know, how much WWE's stock spiked in, like, the last few weeks or last few months. But I don't know. It just seems like, maybe just because of the way it started with Wrestle Kingdom 11, you know, but it just seemed like everybody outside of WWE had a fantastic year.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor, I haven't watched Final Battle yet, but every Ring of Honor show I've seen this year was a lot of fun to watch. Same goes for New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And just the buzz around the, you know, quote-unquote independent circuit now is insane compared to where we were a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, Wrestle Kingdom 12 is getting so much buzz, and rightfully so. And it's not just for Jericho and Omega.
I would say, and I think you're right. I think if you look at New Japan specifically, 2017 has been the year of success.
Yes.
Wrestle Kingdom 12, we're going into this show with as much buzz, not just for, you know, stupid nerds who love it enough to make podcasts about it, but, like, I think even some, like, general fan
are curious about it. Yeah.
I mean, this is going in with as much buzz as I would say any lower tier WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they are as close, from what I understand, they are as close to selling out the Tokyo Dome as they've been in like 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And so it's really exciting for wrestling in general for what 2017 did. Mm-hmm. Now, WWE, they did, you know, they did some great things. They did some weird things. They've done some bad things. But all in all, NXT was good, you know?
Well, and we'll get into more stuff next week when we do the classes.
Yeah.
But I just, I feel like looking back, and I don't want to, you know, just be a downer on everything, right. But I can't look back to a time in WWE this year where I was like, I am excited to watch the weekly shows.
Yeah.
Maybe
that'll change once we get into WrestleMania season, but
it's possible. But even this WrestleMania season, like leading into what we were doing this year, was not a lot of like. Yeah. I don't know. It didn't. Monday nights felt like a chore.
Yeah.
This whole year.
Mm-hmm. SmackDown kind of fluctuated.
Yeah, and I gotta say, like, it is so easy to not watch Raw live.
Mm-hmm.
And Raw should be live. Raw, I mean, yeah. that they are. It is harder to make this show live, and you do that because there is the appeal of watching it live,
right?
Of
not getting, anything might happen, yeah,
right? Of not getting those spoilers of,
yeah.
I mean, so you are putting extra funds into being able to put out a live show mm-hmm. on USA every week. It's just it is more expensive, but. There's nothing appealing about it.
No.
And you know, and every show in the world is struggling through, like, I'll just watch it on DVR or I'll, you know, Hulu or whatever. It's so easy to watch stuff next day or next week.
Yeah.
But Raw should have that sports type of, you know, DVR proof where you're like, oh, I got to watch it now.
Right.
And part of that is, and I get that wrestling is, somewhere caught in the middle between live sports and, you know, regular television.
Right.
Because it does have that level of, like, you know, if a game happens, if a football game or baseball game happens,
yeah.
and I go to work the next day, I'm assuming people who care about it have seen it. I do not have to be like, spoiler warning, da-da-da-da won the Super Bowl. Like,
right, yeah.
I'm just going to assume you know or you don't care. You're not taping the Super Bowl to watch it later this week.
No.
And Raw does have that a little bit. Like, I will open conversations about that with, like, have you seen it yet?
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, I'll get like, no, but tell me what happened.
Right.
Like, I have a guy at work who, he watches the pay-per-views.
Right.
At a friend's house. And when he doesn't, like, he's like, just tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Or I know what happened. How did it go over?
Right. Like, how do they go about it?
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah. Best example recently was, you know, he came to me right after Clash of Champions and was like, because he hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And was like, I know that Daniel Bryan did a fast count.
Yeah.
How did they play that?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, so it was in direct contrast to Shane stopping a count and da-da-da. And so.
Yeah.
But even so, with Hulu does that 90-minute Raw
version.
So,
of it, yeah.
And that should not be as appealing as it is.
Yeah.
And it's been, like, the go-to way to watch Raw for me.
Right.
This year. Mm. And that's kind of like, and part of it is necessity. There's been no point where something happens and I'm like, I need to check out next week.
Yeah.
And find it. And even when there is, because again, just the most recent example is Daniel Bryan does the fast count, and there is that little bit of like, how are they going to handle this on SmackDown? But it doesn't translate to, I need to watch SmackDown. It's, I need to wait till SmackDown airs, and then somebody will tell me what segment to watch, and I'll watch that.
Right, yeah.
And part of that is a need to evolve as a TV show.
Yeah.
Wrestling is very easy to segment. There are these storylines, and it is, you know, a show is 7 storylines mm-hmm. that are going on at the same time, independently of each other.
Yeah.
And once upon a time, not even long ago, once upon a time, like, just 5 years ago, if you were watching it, even if you only cared about three of those seven storylines,
mm-hmm.
you're watching the show, and you're zoning in and out maybe, checking your phone,
yeah.
playing a Game Boy if we're going far enough back.
Yeah.
But like, but they're there, they're in front of you, and maybe they'll catch your attention.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing going into a pay-per-view where you're like, I'm interested in matches 1, 3, and 7.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to watch them and say, oh, this was lame, but it's gotten good because of this.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do that anymore.
Mm.
And it's so easy not to do it. And, you know, and part of it is with the network, and maybe, like, with the network, you get everything, you know, you get the big shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe there's this, like, you know, well, you got the network, you're paying your $9.99. That's all we want from you. Who cares if you watch Raw anymore? Because I'm paying
right,
my $10
yeah.
directly to WWE.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's just, I feel like it can't be that segmented anymore. It cannot be, you know,
yeah.
these things. There needs, and there's stuff like, do you remember, I don't know, it was like WrestleMania 16,
mm-hmm.
15 maybe. It's got 16 somewhere in there. Where Vince McMahon
was
a part of almost yeah. everything. And it was like, or the McMahon family was.
Yeah. Might have been 17, because I think it was a Rock and Austin year.
Maybe.
One of the main events. And that was,
I don't
17,
remember.
It was
during Ministry of Darkness.
Right.
Because there was that, and the McMahon family was a face for that one.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's weird that he's a face for this part of the show, but a heel for this part of the show.
Yeah.
But
15, 17, 19, so it would have been 15 that year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you were, you know, invested in the McMahon family, you were invested in the show.
Yeah.
They were entrenched in the show.
Yeah. They had their hands in everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like Stephanie should be in every segment.
No, but storylines that are more connected,
yeah. interwoven. And part of that is like maybe bring back factions in a bigger way.
Sure. That way the show, like you're saying, less segmented, less rigid, like, and just more fluid, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe people have, I mean, and there's been some good stuff with, like, Braun Strowman having feuds with, like, three people at a time. But then a couple of them fizzle out. Like, it's not handled well, but, like, there's some seeds with, like, oh, maybe this is what you should try.
Yeah.
Now, as I say all this, New Japan is
yeah.
not doing that.
No.
And is doing gangbusters.
Yes.
So, like, as I'm not here to be like, this is the only
yeah.
way to save
with
wrestling
the,
in
yeah.
the new century.
With the aside of faction, because, you know, New Japan has, you know, a few large factions.
No, they do, but
yeah.
but they still very much have, I mean, they do, they're all, they're still putting
they're
on
still,
a wrestling show
right.
where it's like, this
yeah.
match with this feud, now this match with this feud, and
yeah, well, yeah, for them it's just like, time for this match, and now time for this match, and yeah. I
yeah.
see what you're saying. And that's just, that's how you do a wrestling show, period, no matter how you segment everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And it's very easy to take this, you know, random half pitch that I'm doing of like more fluid and overbook everything, where the NWO is in every feud, interrupts every match, no match ever ends.
Then it becomes boring after a while because it's the same thing week after week.
Yeah. And just no coherency as to like, why are they doing that? Other than this is how matches end on this show, is
right.
So, but just, it's, as we go into 2018,
mm-hmm.
There's nothing, or there's very few things in WWE to look forward to. There's not a whole lot of,
other than, like, specific type of, like, specific shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's, like, okay, the Rumble's close, and I'm excited about
right.
that. WrestleMania's going to
be
WrestleMania.
Where they're setting up NXT, where, like, this last episode, you found out the new Double Contender is Johnny Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like that, yeah. But as far as like the main shows, I mean, next Monday they're going to have the Intercontinental Championship match with Roman and Samoa Joe. And if Roman is DQ'd, then Roman loses the belt.
Well, you just think, comparing hype levels
yeah.
Between the two things, like, just going to New Japan, I am already excited for what Kenny Omega does after Wrestle Kingdom.
Right.
Like, Wrestle Kingdom's almost this annoying bump in the road, because I'm like, oh, he's got to... Honestly, it feels like Roman fighting The Undertaker this year, where, like, his feud with Braun Strowman had to, like, be put on pause.
Right.
So he could do The Undertaker thing and then go straight back, like... Braun was like sitting at the bus stop waiting.
Yeah, because, you know, they're kind of building some tension between Kenny and Cody for a little while. And now it's like, well, now we got to talk about this Jericho guy for a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Which, again, like this, you know, that match is going to probably do very well. And
I understand.
And it's a hugely hyped match, as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's. It doesn't have that, you know, kind of like ho-hum, kind of like going through the motions thing that Roman Undertaker was.
No.
You know?
And it's, again, like, I'm not, because if anything, right now I'm feeling like, boo everything WWE, yay everything
right.
New Japan, which is not intentional, but.
That then you start to sound like, you know, the typical Redditor at this point, yeah.
Well, and part of that is, again, if you look back, New Japan has constantly knocked it out of the park.
For the majority of this year, yeah.
I mean, they've done the thing where they kick, part of it is kicking the year off with Wrestle Kingdom is just a solid idea.
Yeah.
And with Wrestle Kingdom having surpassed, it felt like it surpassed itself.
Yeah.
And like, if you watch them back to back, it doesn't feel that strongly.
Yeah.
But it has the same thing that the early years or the early takeovers did.
Yeah.
Where like each takeover felt better. And you're like, how do they keep topping themselves?
Yeah.
Where since like Wrestle Kingdom 6, you're feeling like each one is topping itself.
Yeah.
Especially
with, you know, the rising and emergence of like Nakamura, you know, kind of like the gradual passing of the torch from, Tanahashi to Okada, you know, and then now like this reemergence of Naito, you know,
and
then you've got, you know, this outside almost invasion of Bullet Club and just Kenny Omega and the journey he's gone through just in New Japan alone, not even talking about DDT or anything like that. You know, it's been a really interesting few years, and I, you know, it's one of those things where you sit back and you're really proud of how far New Japan has come.
Yeah.
You know, well, in the last couple of years and just let alone this year alone, you know.
Mm-hmm. And part of it is it feels like every step has been the step in the right direction.
Right.
Where expanding, having United States shows, having, you know, these shows having English commentary on them.
Yeah.
And nothing feels like TNA's half-hearted, like, we're bringing back the Monday Night Wars and going head-to-head.
Yeah.
It all feels like each step feels planned out and earned, and that is where they are now as a company.
Yeah.
Which has felt like good quality growth. And I think you're right saying, like, going into 2018, looking forward, stuff to look forward to, is almost entirely independent stuff.
Right.
Stuff with, like, Cody and Young Bucks stuff.
And anything with the Elite, you know, obviously interested to see what they do with Okada and Naito and that, you know, because I think Okada's held the title for 400 and something days. And the interesting thing is Okada won that championship from Naito, but Naito was a very different person back then. And it's just, I don't know, it would be interesting if it goes full circle and Naito wins.
Mm-hmm.
And where that goes from that point on, you know, like, I don't know, this is going to be a fun year, at least to start off in, for anyone that's not WWE. With WWE, it's just like, I'm looking more forward to specific shows rather than the card.
Yeah, that's the thing, like,
the wrestlers.
There's the obligation, there's the obligatory high points, which are the big four to five, depending on how you feel about Money in the Bank.
Well, now they've solidified Big Five because Money in the Bank is going to be a joint thing this year.
Oh, yeah, because they're doing the pay-per-views differently.
So it is officially Big Five now.
Yeah. So.
And I think they're getting a takeover, too. which would make sense.
Yeah. But yeah, there's, and again, and we'll get more into it because most of my classes are still, like, though I haven't done all of mine yet.
Yeah.
But most of them are still WWE things.
Right. Just because that is the thing that we weekly, you know, take in, you know.
Yeah.
More often than not. But speaking of the classes, let's go ahead and go through the categories just so people can have it in their mind so we can
yes
figure out what we're going to do next week. Obviously, we've got Male Superstar of the Year, Female Superstar of the Year, Best Tag Team, Match of the Year, Video Package of the Year, Wrestling Event of the Year. We started, I think that was...
That used to be Pay-Per-View of the Year.
Yeah, and so we opened that one up a little bit. Spot of the Year, Best Storyline. I still want to keep... I want to keep Diva of the Year.
Do you have...
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I have a winner.
Okay. I will say that...
As long as I have someone in mind already, you want to keep... We'll keep it.
Under this condition. So, once you don't have the perfect one, we will retire it.
Okay.
And it'll be gone at that point.
I kind of feel the same way about Package of the Year.
Video know? Package of the Year?
Because there have been, like... The only time that I felt strongly about it was, like, the very first one, because it was the...
Okay, so yeah, behind the scenes, Video Package of the Year was for, so we could
just so we could talk about
gush about The Miz, Hate Me Now.
Was that? Well, no, because that was before we started the podcast.
Oh, was it the Monster Package then for WrestleMania
30? No. Before that, okay, it was the Video Package for No Way Out with CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Kane, and then AJ was involved.
Okay.
It was an amazing video package, and it's still probably one of my favorites to this day.
Yeah.
That was the whole reason why I wanted that one in there, because that was the first year that we did it. And then, obviously, we did the Monster one, which was good. Mm-hmm. And I've got an idea for this one, and I have a feeling we might have the same one.
Here's the thing about the video package. Mm-hmm. I will, at the end of the year, it's not one that... I like there have been one or two things like when the monster thing happened, I was like, oh, it's that one.
Right.
And never changed the rest of the year. But most years we'll get to about December and I'll be like, I don't know.
Right. So you start rewatching stuff.
But then I'll watch stuff and just kind of watching them back to back.
Yeah.
And it's usually the one that makes me want to go watch a middle of the road pay per view.
Right.
Which I've already seen, I already know the outcome of, but I'm like, oh yeah, that.
Right.
So and that's the thing is like they're always feels like there's one. I've never,
yeah.
There's never been a time where like one I ended up picking one because I had to, and like I guess this one is the best this year. There's always been I've always picked something that I felt deserved it in the moment.
What's funny is I have I've kind of written in some of my picks for this year already. I might already have to change one.
All right.
Because next is biggest improve and biggest downfall. The one I wrote for my downfall is kind of having an upswing right now. So I don't know.
All right.
That probably gives it away, at least what I had planned there, but I'm going to relook into that. And obviously we have the Mark Henry Memorial Award, and that obviously is something that was supposed to be
really awful,
end up being amazing.
Yes.
Referring to the Hall of Pain thing with Mark Henry. Then we have the Sin Cara Award. That was referring to the original Sin Cara, and that is, you know, something that was supposed to be awesome, it ended up being dog poop.
Yeah.
You know. Referring again to the original, I don't want current Sin Cara to throw a soda at my face.
Just the concept of Sin Cara,
right? And then we have the best and worst return.
Okay.
And we have the best and worst turn.
Okay.
And then show of the year, which is something that we added last year. What was just like a whatever is like something that had more than one episode, so not pay per views. It could be a network show that was a weekly thing, or for some reason, Raw or SmackDown wouldn't be that for me. Maybe NXT.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, something that takes storytelling into a
even if it was like a limited
or somewhat
thing.
Weekly format.
Yeah. See, I wish they did another episode of 365 so that can be, you know,
the thing.
Yeah, because they only did one episode because they can only follow one person a year, I guess.
Yeah.
So those are our categories for this week. Now, before we get into what I said we would get into for this podcast, if WWE didn't do anything interesting, and honestly, they did not. but for some reason, we have managed to talk about wrestling for 30 minutes, and honestly...
Good job, us.
Exactly.
A classy award goes to us.
Yeah, absolutely. But I did want to touch on to just touch on something from last week. Okay. At the end of the show, me and Joel, we swapped presents.
Yes.
And before we lose our wrestling audience
mm-hmm.
to whatever we're about to do, I did want to talk about my reaction to Joel's script that he wrote.
Okay.
Joel, I understand now why he didn't want to give me like a detailed tagline to the movie, because he didn't want it to spoil for me. But I feel like I can nail it now. A, it was amazing. It was funny and it was hilarious. It good on you. You only took, you took 3 pages before you made a fat joke at my expense. And you know what? That's way later than I was expecting. I was expecting like the third word to be like you fat blank or whatever.
Okay. So in my defense, and again, this is, you don't know the script, so but I made it, it was a fat joke that could also be very well read as a Joel is a weakling joke.
I didn't read that at all. Maybe that's maybe because I'm me first.
So that was intentional. I was like, there'll have to be some.
It's a little bit of A and a little bit of B. How about that? Yeah. Okay. But as far as the best way I can, you know, summarize it for those who are interested, if anyone had seen Fanboys a few years ago, it was about these guys who wanted to see Phantom Menace ahead of time because of their ailing friend or whatever. It's like that, but with wrestling. Essentially.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you know? I figured that something conscious that you did.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, because I figured, like, me and you love Fanboys.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of, like, the like really classic, you know, like, road trip type, you know, movies. And we even, like, joke about tropes that eventually happen, of course. It was very, and you know what? Joel almost gave me a girlfriend. She ended up being like super dumb, and I guess childlike in the head, which I don't know what that says about what you think about me. But I appreciate that you tried.
All right,
and I like the fact that we just like randomly went to like a wrestling themed restaurant that's between here and Connecticut,
somewhere. Yeah, I assume.
Sure, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, I enjoyed it a lot. I want Joel to continue to work on it. I want to work on it with him and eventually make this bad boy with little money, obviously, because no one's going to fund this. But still, maybe we can convince Q to get in on this.
Well, he has to.
Well, yeah, because he's in
literally
it.
In the movie.
Q and Blair are trashy brethren who... Have they made a podcast this year?
I'm not sure they have.
I don't think they have either.
Let us know, because I'm assuming you're listening.
Yeah, have you guys haven't done anything all year?
Where's your tour? Is it just like year in reviews at the end of each year?
Yeah, like that. Yeah, they just do their year in review, and that's the only thing they do all year. What? Okay. Anyways, I enjoyed it. I appreciate it almost as much as my other presents with the action figures, namely the meaning behind them. They were ripped from the hands of brokenhearted children.
Eh, not quite, but okay.
Don't ruin my fantasy, Joel. Okay, so I did want to touch on that. Thank you again, Joel. I highly enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see what gets done with it later.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right, so this is the part where we're going to talk about Star Wars.
Okay, as we said...
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. More or less, we gave WWE the opportunity... to
talk about some or do something interesting.
Fill this podcast with wrestling, and they declined our offer.
Yes.
So because we have talked about Star Wars and gotten onto Star Wars tangents many a time on this podcast, we figured we would go ahead
in the year off, seeing as how instead of just releasing a like 30-minute podcast, we would spend the rest of this podcast talking about our thoughts on Last Jedi, because we purposely have put this off. A, to give people some time to see it, so there's less of you trying to avoid spoilers.
Yes.
And B, just because we knew this was going to be a
this
dead
is going to be this week.
Okay.
I will still, excuse me, try to not to be like, you know, not give you, you know, really specific spoilers if for some reason.
No, forget that. We waited 2 weeks. We can spoil anything we want.
I'm gonna say like
I won't.
So, I will try very hard, but
send me your hate mail. I don't
there
care.
There is beyond fair warning at this point.
Yeah, we've been warning them for 2 weeks. Say what you want, sir. Like, come on.
I'll be respectful.
I will not. I will not.
Okay.
I'll say about, like, half the fans do not deserve my respect. Okay? Just judging off of the audience score of Rotten Tomatoes on this movie, I would say about half.
Okay, so that's the interesting thing about this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I am shocked.
I'm shocked that there's such a visceral reaction against this movie.
To this one specifically.
Yeah, like, when you think about it, I would have expected a reaction like this to Force Awakens.
Yes.
You know? Because it is, by and large, not necessarily a one-to-one remake of New Hope, but it has a lot of those same beats, mm-hmm. you know? And a lot of those same character types. And I would have expected something like that. Like, people would have, like, we waited so long for a new Star Wars movie, and you just gave us a repackaged Star Wars.
Yes. And yeah. I think it comes down to this. And, oh, by the way, we both loved it. Like,
yeah, no, Last Jedi was amazing. The more I think about it, I'm going to go ahead and say, I know you're waiting for, like, years down the road.
To do your rankings. Like,
Last Jedi is best Star Wars movie for me.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is a... It's not a perfect movie mm-hmm. by any stretch, but I feel like it is a tight movie pretty much beginning to end, closer to than anything else they've done.
I will say I emotionally cannot remove New Hope from my place.
Really? I thought you were an Empire guy. No?
No, not even close. Not even close.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Empire, New Hope, and now Last Jedi are my top three.
Yeah.
You know? And then number four, Return of the Jedi. I'm definitely not going to put any of the prequels ahead of the originals.
Yeah. Except for Attack of the Clones. Except for Attack of the Clones.
No. I think I put my list on a status that Jonah had posted, and I put, like, Christmas special, and then, like, White Chicks, Birth of a Nation, and then, like, a few other movies that didn't have anything to do with Star Wars, and then Attack of the Clones. It is the worst movie that Star Wars has ever done.
It's weird, because it is the weakest of the Star Wars movies, yeah. But, like, now that's because, like, I have to be like, okay, but here are the quality points of Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, like, it's weird that you feel like you have to defend it. And I am exaggerating, because clearly the original Birth of a Nation is the worst thing ever.
Well, and that's the thing with, like, starting to get into the complaints of, like, you know, these are all the bad parts of Last Jedi.
Right.
And I'm like, here's similar issues with Empire Strikes Back. Why are you making me say bad things about Empire Strikes Back? Why do you hurt me
it's
like that?
It's one of those things, like, it seems like every complaint that someone is having about Last Jedi, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, well, if those are your complaints, then I guess you're not a Star Wars fan. Like, I guess you just don't know Star Wars. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, you know, people who are complaining about the jokes in Last Jedi, like, there's too many jokes or they're too jokey. And I'm like, they're all over Force Awakens and then some. Like, Force Awakens felt like it was so much more jokey.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's fine, because that's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars was never, like, 100% had to be serious all the way through every movie. You know, mm-hmm. It was never like that. Even when, you know, prequels, when George was taking himself a little too seriously at times, you know, even then you still had humor.
Mm-hmm.
Jar Jar. Like, that's the biggest thing right there, you know?
Yeah.
And people complaining about porgs. I really didn't think there were...
I've not seen a lot of porg complaint.
I haven't either, but I've seen a mm-hmm. fairly good number. And I'm like, again, that's just people who don't remember Ewoks and and I guess we're fine with Jar Jar again. I don't know, because porgs seem to be, like, the least evasive, like, cutesy, let's sell some toys thing that they've done, you know?
Invasive, yes, you're right.
Invasive, sorry.
I was like...
Invasive. You know what I mean.
You know. No, I do. Yeah, I figured it out. I was like, he'll come around to why they're so evasive. Like,
there you go.
But I'm on board now,
you know, especially when you find out that, like, it was a necessity because they, you know, that island that they shot Luke's stuff on was, like, a puffin sanctuary, and mm-hmm. they legally could not move them.
Yeah.
So they edited around them and created these new creatures. And I'm like, well, then that's just making the most of what you got, and mm-hmm. that makes me respect Rian Johnson even more.
Yeah. So, I will at some point, mm-hmm. and it will probably, again, be a year from now
yeah.
or more, I'll put out an article or something mm-hmm. of, like, point by point, the issues that I have seen people take with this movie and why I disagree with them.
Sure. No, I've seen a lot of those videos, and that's where I'm getting a lot of my stuff from, is, you know, people going through and finding, like, all these issues. Like, again, I feel like the one thing that a lot of people can agree with as far as, like, the points they have against the movie is Leia in space, you know? Again, it serves a purpose, you know? I know what purpose it serves. And honestly, like, everyone who's complained about it, no one has offered, like, what the solution would be to it, you know? I was like, it's one of the things, well, you know, if you understand what it does, and you feel like that's an important thing that should be included in that movie, what would you replace it with? And no one can come up with something, so I guess, you know, you leave it.
I feel a couple of things. I feel, A, Star Wars space is not real space.
No. Yeah, like, no. Yeah. Then that's the thing, like, well, this doesn't make sense science-wise. It's Star Wars where people can move things with their mind. It's not science-based.
Well, especially, like, you know, not even... And the most obvious thing is, like, there's no sound in space, and, like, explosions and lasers make pew-pew noises all the time. But even beyond that, like, Star Wars space operates like a regular atmosphere. Like,
sure.
When they start shooting a ship, it crashes. And there's, like, there's nothing for it to crash to. You can't crash in space.
The ship goes down.
Yes.
And you know, in the camera frame. And anytime they shoot a bomb or something, the bomb goes down.
Yes.
Bomb drops. Like you saw in the opening action sequence.
Yes. So I am fine with, like, if that any of that, like, oh, you can't hold your breath and saying, like, I'm fine with space not working like space.
And apparently, like, new, more powerful Jedis have new powers all the time, so you don't know that she can't.
Yeah.
You know? Or a force bubble or whatever.
I am just initially okay because we have not ever seen... I wanted to see Leia. Leia's a force user and actually get to see Leia use the force. But now, like, going outside of it and knowing that I'll never get to see Leia do anything else, it's more not just okay. I'm okay with it. It's like I'm extremely pro and glad that I got to see Leia use the force, which she's always been capable of, but her force abilities and training stuff has been sidelined to her general and political and governing
abilities,
aspects of
which some would argue is probably greater than the force ability that she has, and that's saying something. I don't know, like, I don't know, okay, so we've talked about a lot of stuff that we... what other people have disliked about it. Well, let's talk about stuff that we do like.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I just loved anything involving Luke.
Yeah.
You know? I loved, like, not necessarily character development, but, like, the character reveal. Like, throughout the movie, you find out more and more of, like, what happened, how he feels about things, how, like, why he's so jaded right now about the Force and everything. And beyond that, you know, me and you have talked before, like, what this movie is about, and that is failure and learning from it. And we talk about how astonishing it is that this movie is that successful at telling a story when every single person in this movie fails.
Well, when competing sides...
Yeah, both fail.
There's a joke about stormtroopers versus redshirts.
Yeah.
Where it's the stormtroopers, bang, bang, I missed... And the redshirt's like, too bad I died anyway.
Right.
Which, like, is the joke of, like, but that's kind of this, where these two sides are fighting each other.
Yeah.
All of them failing at what they're trying to do.
Yes.
And it still telling a compelling story that moves forward.
Right.
And has a plot that goes
and
forward.
And you still see, like, improvement in character development, you know, especially with Poe. You know, he's... just multiple times in this movie, he's just so, like, focused on the now and what we have to do right now, and forget the rules, forget people who are in authority. This is what is right because this is what I, this is the idea that I have, so I'm going to do it. And then by the end of it, you know, you see him fail all these times throughout this movie. And then in the end, he's the one yelling at Finn to pull back from the blast thing.
Well, he has a line at the beginning of the movie, which is, you start an attack, you finish it.
Right.
Which is what he directly contrasts later on.
By the end of it, he's learned, and he's the one trying to convince Finn to pull off on the attack. So I appreciated that character development, and, you know, initially I didn't love the Finn and Rose storyline. And I guess in my opinion, it still is, out of all of the plots in this movie, that's still the weakest one for me. But now that I've gone back and I really thought about how, like, the movie is about failure, that's an entire plot line that fails.
Yeah. And I think it is
fitting to the overall.
I think that is important,
yeah,
of having this entire chunk of the movie that is about executing a plan,
right,
and it just not working.
And if anything, what it is successful is it brings in the kids that we see the reveal at the very end, you know, because if they just cut to that, they're like, who's that? Like, I don't care. Yeah. But, you know, then you see why we're supposed to care about these regular people.
Yes.
You know, and again, that goes back to what this movie is about, and is, you know, making the Force seem more accessible, you know, that it isn't just the Skywalkers.
We're at the point where if Disney has their way,
yeah,
which it's looking more and more like Disney will always have their way,
yeah,
and just subject
over everything,
over their whim in this,
except
Disney world.
Except your Disney overlords, yeah.
So there's Star Wars forever.
Yes.
There will be Star Wars every year from now until forever. The Star Wars story, you and I will not live to see how Star Wars turns out.
That is, like, encouraging and depressing at the same time.
I know it is. Yeah. But, so, Last Jedi, for me, is a very promising vision of, because Last Jedi is a movie in and of itself. It tells a story.
Yes.
It has a theme. It has points that it tries to make,
while
still being a part of
a bigger story,
this bigger overarching thing.
Yeah.
And I almost didn't bring in this comparison because there's a weird complaint that's like, it's too much like Marvel, where I'm like, what? No, that's not a thing.
No, yeah.
But I will say Marvel has had successes and failures where they've had movies that serve the greater Marvel Universe storyline but still are their own movie.
Right.
I can pop in, you know, Winter Soldier and
there
be like, oh, that's a good movie, and watch that.
Yeah.
I can pop in Iron Man 2 and be like, oh, that's literally just,
is just
a thread of a plot enough
Avengers
to,
service, yeah.
Yeah, to limp us along to get to see the Avengers. And so there are successes and failures among that.
Kind of like how, like, Force Awakens was really just a setup for this next movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But Last Jedi is able to serve those both,
yeah,
those things where it does feel, and there's things like, and Rogue One is so far the other way. Rogue One does not set up any service to the rest of the Star Wars universe.
Well, mostly because of how it ends, but
and that's not necessarily a bad thing, especially for that movie.
Yeah. Again, like, each movie has its own purpose to serve, you know?
But the fact that this one does have a theme, that theme of failure, that theme from not only failure, but how you let failure affect you.
Yeah.
The people like Poe who take that failure, take it to heart. And that's the thing, is like, Poe doesn't just fail necessarily.
No.
Like, Poe comes out of this initial attack feeling like he has succeeded, defending his actions.
Yeah, and
agreeing.
It's not until Leia reveals, like, tells him,
and
look at the number of people who've died.
Right,
and
there's a lot of things. And taking that to heart and being able to look back and reflect on your failure, versus, you know, Kylo, again, because both sides fail a lot.
Yeah.
Kylo has several failures in this movie that he doesn't learn from, that he stubbornly refuses to learn from, to the point where it continues to affect his ability to achieve his goals.
Yeah, you would figure by now, like, hey, why not, you know, be a little bit more calmer in moments of conflict? Maybe you would have realized that Luke actually wasn't there.
Well, and there's things like, just things where this isn't just, hey, let's have a movie where everybody fails.
Yeah.
It's the effect of the failure. It's how it impacts these characters.
And, you know, the different reactions to that failure, you know, people who find success in it, or people who learn from it, people who really, really fail at it, and that, you know, Snoke, and then people who just continue on going that same path, and it just gets worse for them, or worse for everyone around them, like Kylo.
Yeah. But again, there are, again, a lot of complaints are like, they didn't do this. I was looking for this and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so, a movie's not bad because it didn't follow your fan theory.
Precisely.
And in fact, if...
That makes it almost better. Because
yes.
I promise you, the vast majority of us are not as good storytellers as Rian Johnson.
Yes.
You know? For my own reasons where I don't necessarily feel all that strongly about J.J. Abrams, J.J. Abrams is probably still a better storyteller than I am.
These guys got here...
For a reason. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, and I'm trying.
Yeah. But I'm trying to get there, to get to their point.
But A, they're better. And B, this isn't the end of Star Wars. There's more.
No.
There's at least nine. So, like, you don't want to finish up eight and be like, well, that's everything.
Right.
And it's like, well, then what's that one for?
It's like, I'm sorry your theory on who Rey's parents is wrong. But I love the direction that it went. Because, again, like, you look at the Skywalker bloodline. And, yeah, George Lucas has always said, like, these episodic movies are supposed to follow the Skywalker bloodline. And everyone's like, well, then Rey has to be a Skywalker. Like, no, you got Kylo. He never said that Skywalkers had to be the good guy in every single movie. And if you think about, like, the overall big picture and everyone else in the galaxy, how come the Skywalkers aren't the most hated family in the universe? Like, two of the worst individuals in the entire galaxy are Skywalkers.
Have you seen the video? It just came out recently. It's like, been making Facebook rounds. It's called The Biggest Lie in the Galaxy.
No, I haven't seen it.
And so it takes a clip from Phantom Menace right after. So there's the moment they're about to go back to Naboo, and little Jake Lloyd, Anakin Skywalker, goes, "I don't want to be a problem, Mr. Qui-Gon, sir." And Qui-Gon goes, "You won't be." And then there's this like wah wah music, and then goes through everything that Anakin / Darth Vader does.
Jeez. You see, and honestly, but yeah, like, I don't understand how, like, they haven't made this point before where, like, the Skywalkers are viewed as, like, the most hated family in the galaxy. Like, yeah, Luke was good, but he only did so much because here comes Kylo Ren, you know? And honestly, like, according from books that have come out that I have yet to read and I want to, especially the Leia one, where, like, the reason why the Resistance doesn't have, like, Y-Wings or better equipment or more people is because it has come out that she is the daughter of, you know, Darth Vader. And so people obviously aren't necessarily as keen to join their cause as they would have been if they just thought that she was Senator Organa's daughter.
So Return of the Jedi ends the saga.
Yeah.
The way that Return of the Jedi ends is the end of the story. The good guys have won.
Right.
And so I can see people, I feel like a lot of the complaints, especially about Luke, come from, like, he was happy the last time I saw him.
It's like, yeah, well, it's been like 30 years.
Well, also,
you're not going to have 30 straight years of nonstop happiness.
Part of it is, you know what? You wanted more Star Wars. I wanted more Star Wars.
You got to create conflict.
There has to be some amount of conflict. And if you look at, this is the second time we are deciding what happens after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
With the Legends book series going on as well. And this isn't necessarily to be like, these are equal in quality. Mm-hmm. But just in necessity of storytelling, you know, Luke has struggles and issues. And Luke falls to the dark side at one point in those and has to...
Yeah.
You have to continually have issues and struggles and conflicts and failure for your main characters.
Yeah, and for the overall story to continue going. Yeah.
And he even says them, he's like, at the height of their power, the Jedi allowed Darth Sidious to infiltrate and take over.
Shot too. Like,
where does that nice zoom in kind
of
thing?
And he's just like, he's just smacking you in the face, like, yeah, no, these guys, they were just, their hubris got the best of them.
Well, and so everybody's complaining about Luke.
I felt very Spielberg, you know, that zoom.
Yeah, everybody complaining about Luke, you know, his response to his things. And I'm like, Yoda did literally the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
Let's 100%. Find an island out in the middle of nowhere. Like, he chose a swamp instead of an island, but it is
He didn't have a giant creature to milk, but Yoda went, like, eventually kind of went nuts.
It's self-imposed exile.
Yeah.
Which is apparently the Jedi way.
Yeah. And like, Luke even had Porgs and, like, the little, like, mm-hmm. caretakers. So yeah. he had, actually had other beings to interact with.
Well, Obi-Wan did very close to the same, as close to the same thing as he could do while still being available for babysitting.
There you go. Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I felt like Last Jedi was so good and so interesting with not being frightened mm-hmm. of the monumental weight of being a Star Wars movie.
Right. And that goes to, like, the line that's often repeated is, you know, forget the past, you know. And it's just like, you don't hold so much weight on what's happened before this. Well, if you want to continue going on this ride and enjoying that ride.
But see, here's the thing. I do.
Well, sure. Yeah.
And I said at the beginning of when we were just talking, like, I can't remove New Hope.
Sure.
As the best movie of all time. Like, it still weighs on me mm-hmm. so heavily as this definitive thing,
but
not just in Star Wars, but in, mm-hmm. like, existence mm-hmm. and in my life and in my mm-hmm. upbringing. And
sure.
And so, like...
But at the same time, those feelings about those former movies are not going to ruin your experience of these new
well,
movies.
Well, there's no reason for them to ruin. There's... So, again, this complaint of, like, oh, but would you like it if it wasn't a Star Wars movie? You know, you only like it because it's a Star Wars movie. If it wasn't a Star Wars movie,
no.
you would hate it. And I'm like, that's...
A, I'm 100% in the tank for Rian Johnson, period.
Well, that's...
that's, you know. B, no, it's just a good movie from beginning to end.
Well, and that's... Okay, so... But it is a Star Wars movie.
Right.
It's like, you know,
that's, yeah.
oh, look at that giraffe, you know. Oh, yeah, if that was a toolbox, you wouldn't like it as a giraffe. And I'm like, well, no, but it is a giraffe.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Star Wars
right.
movie.
Yeah.
And while it does have to succeed or fail on its own, it also has to succeed or fail as a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And that weight has to be added or subtracted mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah.
You know, and for the most part, Star Wars is a, you know, heavy thing to live up to.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it is scary mm. every time. Like I genuinely, you know, am never, like, okay. Again, with the everything, there will be a Star Wars movie forever. We never see
yeah.
the end of it. There'll be a Star Wars movie I don't like. It's
sure.
out there. It's
sure.
in the future. And it's scary.
Yeah. Like,
and
Marvel has done an amazing job going all these years, and there haven't really been a bad Marvel movie.
No.
There have been stuff that we didn't
there's
like
been
as
less
much.
Good, but
there was Ant-Man. There was Doctor Strange. They're like, eh, okay. But
I mean,
I wouldn't classify yeah. it as a bad
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, there's things that, like, you know, squeak by and quality and forgettability.
Sure.
But on a thumbs up, thumbs down,
most
everything's
of them,
hit a thumbs up. So
yeah,
far.
Absolutely. And so, like, it's impressive that Marvel has gone this far
mm-hmm.
without a thumbs down movie. You know, lightning's all not, you know, going to strike twice on that, so you don't know how long it's going to be before Star Wars.
Well, and the thing is, Star Wars...
Granted, they've already put out a bad movie, and it's called Attack of the Clones.
Again, Attack of the Clones... Attack of the Clones genuinely thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs ups for me. And I will say...
That's the only one I would give a thumbs down. That may be kind of a thumb in the middle for Phantom.
And again, I think those... two movies,
mm-hmm.
and especially Phantom crumbled under the weight of being a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So this, like, you only like it because it's a Star Wars movie, I think Phantom has a lot of, like, you don't like it because it says Star Wars at the beginning.
Right.
If it just came out as a thing, you would be like, I, you know, B+,
sure.
sci-fi,
yeah.
you know, schlock, whatever. But because it has the weight of, this, especially being the first Star Wars in,
since,
like, 19 years
yeah.
of whatever it was at the time,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, it, you know, has this additional burden that it must carry. But, okay, I am scared to death about Solo.
Yeah, me too.
Like, everything
the
about
fact that,
Solo...
The fact that we are 5 months out and we haven't gotten any sort of trailer or anything.
We've barely gotten a poster.
Right.
Like, and it's just... the words on a piece of paper.
They just, the difficulty they had with this movie, they really just should have pushed it back to December.
Mm-hmm.
They really should have.
I still think they should.
Yeah.
I still think I'm like, push it back to December.
It's
give
not too
yourself
late. Yeah. It's not too late.
Some time to, like, revamp and rework. And that's the thing is, like, they are, you know, there are issues with, you know, this time around, I was this nervous about Rogue One 5 months out.
Right.
Because of all the, like, behind the scene rumors.
Yeah.
and
shoots and everything. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so you can take a jumbled mess and pull a good movie out of it.
Yeah,
and I'm of the opinion, like, you know, a delayed movie's delayed, but a bad movie's bad forever.
Right, and that's why that's what I always respected about Force Awakens is, you know, they just had like a tiny little trip as far as the script goes, and then they moved it to December. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? Good. I'd rather them take extra time mm-hmm. and really work on the movie. And now that they're not doing that with Solo, given they've had way more of a, you know, a stumble in the road.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about that. I don't know. I'm a little nervous about Episode 9.
I mean,
you know, and like, you know, and maybe it's, I'm hoping J.J. Abrams isn't a petty man, and I have no reason to believe that he is, but Rian Johnson took a lot of the stuff from that J.J. set up in Force Awakens and just threw it out the window, and part of me is like, I hope J.J. is not so petty where he does the exact same thing, and just, oh.
Bring it all back.
Yeah.
Kylo was lying. Ray's parents are a big deal.
Or that, or just take all the stuff from Last Jedi and throw that out the window and just introduce more stuff that just doesn't really matter one way or the other.
So, I mean, I'm nervous about every Star Wars movie. Every Star Wars movie will have some level of stress because I
will say I am far less nervous about the new trilogy with Rian Johnson now that I've seen Last Jedi.
Well, yeah.
It's not going to have anything to do with Skywalkers.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing what he did with Last Jedi makes me feel much more comfortable about the new trilogy.
I am nervous that the negative backlash to Last Jedi
will
either A, mm-hmm. cause like a lot more scrutiny on his work for this trilogy, or there's really nothing other than, hey, you want to do a trilogy? Cool, that sounds fun. What's it going to be about? I don't know. Like, right. It's so in early development, they could just be like, no,
that,
never mind.
Plus, that same scrutiny that all of these bad reasons to dislike Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
The people who feel that way are so vocal and so, like I said earlier, so visceral about it that Lucasfilm is just going to be like, okay, well, we're going to quote unquote fix it in the next movie, in 9, and just, again, like undo all the good that Last Jedi did and give you a repackaged Return of the Jedi or mm-hmm. something. And then we're just going to get repackaged stuff all over and over again. You know, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm not saying that they will. But I think, what's his name? Harley Morenstein from Epic Mealtime is like, that's how you get Justice League. You know, mm-hmm. like you get all these fans that are yelling about stuff and they just, like, fine, we'll just give you what you want. Isn't that what you want? And they're like, well, no, that's a terrible movie.
Yes.
You know? So it's, yeah.
I mean,
that's the thing I'm nervous about now.
And there's like,
is if they're going to cave to.
It's stressful because
hate.
There's plenty of reasons to return to Jakku for the first act of Episode 9.
There is.
And there's things like, you know what?
I spent too much time on that planet in Force Awakens.
I'm not even saying don't do it, because there are genuine reasons, story reasons to do it. But because they went back to Tatooine and Return of the Jedi is not the genuine reason to do it.
There you go. Yeah.
And, you know, I have no reason to be nervous or upset about 9 other than the reason of, they're just all going to make me nervous until I see him forever.
Sure.
But yeah.
I'm just mostly nervous on Lucasfilm caving to what the fans are, or half the fans are yelling about.
I will say, I have not spoken to, okay, there's one person at work, but mm-hmm. like that didn't like it. Mm-hmm. But other than that, everybody I've spoken to in person has liked it.
The only person that has had less than a I love it reaction to it, I have turned them. And that's my roommate, Ed. He saw the movie about a few hours after I did, around the same time you guys watched.
Yeah.
I watched it like at 7 something. He watched it at like 10. And so I'm up in the living room at like 1 in the morning when he comes in. And I'm like, so what do you think? And he's like, nothing happened. I'm like, what? And then like I broke it down for him, like this and this and this and this. He's like, all right, I understand that. Okay. And then he's like, all right, fine. We're going back tomorrow or Saturday. And we went back Saturday. And he's like, nah, I see what you're saying. And now he's back. Now he's one of the most like pro I love Last Jedi people ever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, again, like people complaining about, like, we don't know Snoke's backstory. Yeah, so what? We don't know Yoda's backstory.
Mm-mm.
Like, we still don't.
No.
You know, and, you know, granted, I would like a Yoda standalone movie eventually, but I've accepted Yoda and everything that happens to Yoda, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Snoke isn't the main bad guy of this trilogy.
No.
That's the point they're making. It is 100% Kylo Ren, you know? Mm-hmm. He is more powerful than any other Jedi Sith that we've seen.
Yeah.
And he's already more successful than Vader because Vader never ascended as Emperor or anything, mm-hmm. or Supreme Leader in case of Kylo. That's what Kylo is now, you know?
Well, and I do. I think that that there is so much to glean from this mm-hmm. being the middle part of a trilogy.
Yeah.
Which, and I assume that will be. Like, if there is an episode 10, 11, 12,
mm-hmm.
I will still, until proven otherwise, operate mm-hmm. under the assumption that these will work as trilogies.
Yeah.
And there is so much, mm-hmm. that this is so much of a case study of how to do a second part of a trilogy.
Now, from what I understand, like, after 9, they're going to do the Rian Johnson trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And in between those, I'm assuming they're still going to do standalones.
Maybe. I don't know. There's been...
Or they're going to go back and forth between a Skywalker trilogy and the Rian Johnson trilogy.
So, do you remember when, like, right after Avengers 2 came out, mm-hmm. they made a, like, big press conference, and it was like, here's the next 8
yeah.
Marvel movies.
And then like, they're like,
what?
And then, you know, hey, guys, Spider-Man. And then that just kind of like, all right, well, let's rearrange that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I assume at some point around 9 or a little bit after 9,
yeah.
they'll be like, here's the next slate of 8 right. or 9 titles that we're working
on. Because that was
on.
The thing that was kind of concerning me. It's like they haven't said anything after 9 yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've kind of they've greenlit a Obi-Wan standalone, but mm-hmm. there's been no details about it.
Yeah. And there's stuff like, you know, Obi-Wan should get a standalone, especially because
Ewan McGregor is kind of like that age now.
He's that age. He's gung-ho about it.
Yes.
And you need to do it.
And honestly, like, he's like one of the major positive things from the
prequels.
He
is. He's probably the biggest
yeah,
like fan acceptance thing to come out of the prequels.
Yeah.
And you also need to do it fairly soon before he starts being like, he should look like Alec Guinness by now. Like,
right. True. True.
They can't have him like getting ready to do the crate dragon call and go to Luke, because you're like, and like don that descent turns into,
yeah, like Rogue One, it where it ends up happening like minutes before the next movie.
Right,
yeah.
You can't do that with
no.
the Obi-Wan movie.
He definitely does not look like Sir Alec Guinness.
But that one seems like an obvious one. They've, you know, the Boba Fett plan is gone, but there's still clearly going
there's
to be a
idea,
Boba Fett movie.
Yeah, just because the original director that was supposed to do that went crazy.
Mm-hmm. I genuinely think that no matter how this Solo movie
yeah.
shakes out, it's the first of a trilogy. Like, those
okay.
Those
you
people
think
are
going to be a Solo
franchise? I think they're planning on it. I mean,
even if it's a big old snaker?
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right. That's fair.
I do. I am still genuinely shook. Just not even on story quality and story integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a business concept, I am shocked there's not a Rogue 2.
Yeah,
like,
ignoring the way that it ended or whatever, they could have switched something around.
Oh, they could have easily. I am shocked they were that okay with that ending the whole time.
Yeah,
and it wasn't going like that. That really
they aren't looking to franchise everything that they
mm-hmm.
they do.
Yeah, and honestly, again, I'm okay with it. If you do a Han Solo trilogy,
mm-hmm.
Rian Johnson's new trilogy out in the ethos,
yeah.
I am fine with it. Because it doesn't need to be the Skywalker episodes and then 100 one-offs.
Right.
As a franchise, as a mega franchise, you will work better
mm-hmm.
if you start making little mini franchises out there here and there.
Yeah.
I
agree.
And that's what needs to happen. That's what I assume will happen.
My theory is that, you know, next we're going to get the Rian Johnson trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that trilogy, we're going to revisit the Skywalkers and see where they're at. At that point.
Yeah. I have no idea. It genuinely yeah. comes down to what happens next.
Yeah.
But I hope that the most positive thing to come out of Last Jedi is this dude had a vision, made a
yeah.
movie, put out that movie
mm-hmm.
to genuine critical acclaim.
Yeah.
And I hope that and box office success.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, like, leading up to Last Jedi, what made me feel more comfortable about that movie leading up to it mm-hmm. was the fact that Lucasfilm's like, yeah, we're just giving him a trilogy. Like, yeah. that shows you, like, they like something in him.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see that, what they liked about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And so here's the weird thing is Star Wars is, you know, for the past 2 years has been my top 10. You know, when I make a top 10 list of the year, Star Wars is Force sure. Awakens is the number one movie. Rogue One mm-hmm. was number one movie. For Last Jedi is going to be number one movie. Yeah. And again, it doing that just makes it harder for the year that it's not going to be.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really weird when there's a really good, like next year, you know.
There's a big chance that Solo might be.
That Solo might not be. And Solo might still be really good.
But it's also coming out the same year as an Avengers.
But like Avengers might yeah. break it. And so.
Avengers might be good. Black Panther might be really good. Right. Yeah.
And so there's this thought process of at some point I need to discount Star Wars and consider it my inability to separate Star Wars from other movies.
Right.
Just for personal reasons.
Just because but it's this just year, acknowledging your own bias.
Yeah, this year feels almost more important to say, like, no, Last Jedi is the best movie to come out this year.
Yeah.
Last Jedi had the hardest job mm-hmm. of any movie and pulled it off with the greatest success.
Yes.
It is important to say that Last Jedi is the best movie this year.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to find any, you know, contrarian views with me yeah. on that. Like, it's 100%.
So,
here's the lasting thing that we should leave you all with here. Last Jedi was a good movie. And all the reasons that you have for hating it, not necessarily disliking or not being your cup of tea or whatever, but mm-hmm. reasons for hating it are stupid. Yes?
That's far. Until I hear something that
and, yeah, until
proves
someone
me wrong.
Gives me a solid argument, I've yet to hear one.
Yeah.
And I'm open to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll listen and I'll be ready to shoot your BS down.
All right, so that's our Last Jedi.
Yes.
We're about to jump into plugs, but we do have a special plug this week.
Yes.
Before we jump into the weekly ones.
We have a charity fundraising thing, an idea that Joel had, and then we're just kind of running with it. Not quite sure exactly what we're going to call it. I've just kind of called it Rumblethon.
Okay. That works.
That might be what
we,
it is.
We have so the weekend of the Royal Rumble,
yep.
We will be live streaming Chris playing a WWE game.
Yeah. Playing a Royal Rumble match.
Playing a 40-man Royal Rumble match.
Yes.
And we will live stream it. And he will be playing for charity.
Yep.
We will continue to pipe this in future yes. podcasts. Mm-hmm. We'll have posts about it on Twitter and Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. But we wanted to go ahead and let you know mm-hmm. that was coming up.
Basically what we're going to do is you can pledge for however amount that you want, we're going to do one or two ways. Either you can pledge for number of eliminations I have mm-hmm. in you know the Royal Rumble, or pledge to how far I make it. So yeah. say you pledge $1 for whatever how long I last, and if I'm the 10th person eliminated, then you donate
$10. Yes,
we're donating for the Duke Children's Hospital. We're going to be doing that. We're going to be setting up a classroom entire page on Extra Life
mm-hmm.
Because Extra Life is, you know, they do their big event in November, but it is a year-long thing. So we'll put out more information on that. I'm setting up the classroom entire Extra Life page within the next couple days. And you know, again, you can always just donate. You know, you don't have to do the pledge thing or whatever. We just think it's fun to mm-hmm. do it that way, to get people invested in it. And, you know, even if you can't donate, once you see us start promoting it and everything, if you could just go on Twitter, go on Facebook and help us promote it, retweet
it,
share it on Facebook, all that stuff. Yeah, yes. We would really appreciate it. And I'm pretty sure a few kids would appreciate it as well.
I would assume.
Yeah.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet when we watch shows live.
Yeah. And if you have any questions, comments, send us your picks for the Classy Awards. Send that all to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to get a new episode every single week. Subscribe to the podcast. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. We'll also have links to the
Rumblethon
as it
moves forward.
Yep.
Just kind of easy ways to see what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.